Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise as we start a new series today. Amen. To me, this is going to be and can be for you an amazing tool in your life for you to be and have all that God wants you to have and be. It's something, it's a principle. We're talking a new series called Words. Say Words. Everybody, uses words, some more than others. Ladies tend to have more words than guys. I didn't make it. Jesus made it that way. It's all good. We run out of our words, don't we, guys? We got to work on having more words by the time we get home after work because we've used all our words all day, but it's learning. And so we have words to share, words to tell, words to define, to describe. And yet a lot of times we don't realize how powerful our words are. Because we can think, oh, there's no big deal. I can say what I want. And sometimes if you've met people, I know nobody here, you might ever freak out or flip out or kind of go what we call going carnal. You know what I mean? Just might get all upset and just say all kinds of crazy things. And then we think, oh, it's no big deal because I, you know what I mean? Oh, I didn't mean them. But words, boy, got quiet. We got some things going on, I guess, here. Help me, Jesus. See, if you get quiet, that means you're under conviction. I just got to hang out until the Lord tells me, keep going. Amen. See, when you get upset and lose your temper and say stuff you shouldn't say, a lot of times we think, oh, it's no big deal. We say stuff, oh, it's no big deal. But do you know your words are a big deal? They are a big deal, not just in keeping relationships, but literally in every facet of your life. Words have power. This is a tool. If you'll stick with me, and one of my challenges for this beginning of this new series, I'm going to challenge you, unless you have to be at work or whatnot, I challenge you to be here at all 4 weekends that we teach this. Some of you, that might be par for you. That's normal. You're here every weekend. Some of you, you come once a month. You're thinking, what am I going to do? I got 3 other Sundays. The reason I'm doing this is because this is like, to me, a very powerful tool, but it has been abused and misunderstood in the world. And when my daughter, who's 6, when she's 13, I don't want to give her the keys of the car because she can do more damage than good. And I'm partial truth of this concept will actually do more damage than good. Because it has been abused and misused in the church world, some circles of the church world, but also in the secular world. Because there's power in your words. There's power in your words. I mean, the way you got saved is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. And we're going to talk about confession. And in confession, I'm not going to be referring to like confessing a sin. We're going to look at the actual, and we're going to break this down because there's so many scriptures. We're going to build it line upon line, precept upon precept, scripture after scripture. But confession we're going to talk about is from the original text of homologio. Don't worry about ever saying that again unless you just want to look like you know what you're talking about and talking to someone who's theologically versed and you can sound, hey, I know homologio. Have you ever heard that one before? And you can even say it wrong. They probably wouldn't even know that you said it wrong. That's the cool thing about the Greek and Hebrew. You can act like you know Greek and Hebrew and no one would know. But it actually means to say what God is saying. See, God created the heavens and earth with his word. Isaiah 55:11 says, God's word will go forth. It will not return void, but accomplish that to which it's sent. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away before my words fail. God puts enormous amount of weight or importance on his words. In fact, the Bible tells us, and we're going to get into this and look at the verses throughout the whole thing. I'm trying to give you a big, broad stroke today. The Bible says that he has magnified his word above his name, which means his power backs his word. We're going to find out how that affects us because you said, but I'm not God. That's God. I know, but we're called to be and created to be in the image of God, imitators of our Heavenly Father. Most people don't realize how powerful our words are. Why do some struggle with getting their prayers answered? Because they don't understand the power of their words. Why do some struggle with spiritual authority, not only being under authority, but over authority? Because they don't understand the power of their words. Why do some struggle with their faith? Because they don't realize the power of their words. Now, in some circles, they take it and I'll just call it what it is. In the New Age circle, which is a cult, Well, I don't feel like I typically have to emphasize that, but I do today. The New Age is not a religion, it's a cult. If you find yourself being pulled into it, back yourself out of it, whoever I'm talking to. But the New Age will try to take words and they'll make mind over matter. It's all in your mind. And you reprogram your mind. This is not what I'm talking about. They're taking a 2% of the truth of God's word and they've added 98% of error, and they're trying to take God out of something that's within his kingdom and his principle. We're going to see how God operates, how God wants us to operate. Some have taken it where your words that you're speaking, and they, you know, I mean, you can, it's not about you repeating something that you want 1,000 times. You can say Cadillac 500 times a day. It doesn't mean you're going to get a Cadillac. Now, let me keep everything in balance. Am I against Cadillacs? No. God maybe wants you to have a Cadillac. You might want to have a Cadillac. Go buy a Cadillac if you can afford it. Praise God. There's nothing wrong with a Cadillac or Mercedes or whatever. But you can be 5'2" and say every day that you're 6'2" and it probably won't happen. We're going to look at it. We're going to say what God says. Why is that important? How does that make a difference? And how do we learn to operate the way God wants us to operate to affect our lives? Think of this for a second. Now, I love techie stuff. And one of the things that have come out that's really techie, would you believe it or not, is a thermostat. Catch this. And there's this new thermostat. I'm going to ask Joe. He stepped away for a second. Oh, man, I caught Joe stepping away. Can you believe the only time I referred to him and he had stepped away? Joe, where are you at? No, I'm joking. It's this techie thermostat. More, and you say, why? How can a thermostat be techie? It knows when you walk in the room, turns on. It is hooked to the internet by wireless so it can communicate with the internet in the world. It memorizes every adjustment and when you do it, so eventually it will make all those adjustments you typically do to your thermostat automatically. It's kind of scary. Next thing it needs to do is start talking and, you know, call your name when you walk in. It will freak us all out, right? But we're all familiar with thermostats, are we not? In your apartment, your house, whatever. And when you walk into a place and you, let's say you wake up one morning and the snow's out there and everybody is in bed and you wake up and it's freezing in your house and you're like, why is it so cold? And you walk over to the thermostat. The first thing you see is the thermometer side, what the temperature says in that space. It measures what the temperature in the room is. And you might look and it's like 55 degrees because your spouse the night before was hot and turned everything off and didn't set it correctly. And so you're awakened by the cold. Start preaching. Well, when you wake up, you're cold, you look at the thermostat, it says 55. First thing you see is where it is. But you don't stand there and go, oh, I'm so cold. Jesus, why are you making me cold today? Don't you love me, Jesus? Send somebody my way, Lord. Kumbaya, my Lord. You don't do that. What do? You change the thermostat to where you want it to be. And then when you hear the heaters kick on, you're like, I might be cold, but I'm getting warmer because the heat's on. Your words are not only a thermometer, but even more importantly, they are a thermostat for your life. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs 18, verse 20 says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his, talk to me, church, of his mouth. And with the increase of his lips shall he be. Next verse. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That means in your ability to speak. See, some have taken words and they've totally abused it as they begin to learn the tool. Death and life are in the power of your words. But that doesn't mean, and you're going to see in this series, that as you develop this tool, if you haven't already in your walk with God, that doesn't mean you use your words to control people. You better do what I say or bad things are going to be happening. No, that kind of death, in your words, is witchcraft. Did you hear me? It's witchcraft. I have to walk carefully through this because there's been so many minds planted in the church world and the world that people start thinking, you know where we're going, and we're going to stick with what the Bible says. Your words aren't there to manipulate and scare and freak people out. Your words, it's not mind over matter, but we're going to see the power of God's word in your mouth when you begin to say, not denying what you see, not denying that it's 55 degrees in the house, not denying the temporary, but beginning to speak the eternal or the word of God into your situation. Why would you do it? I'm glad you asked. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Why would you change that thermostat? Because you want something different. What am I telling you? When we get a grasp of this thing and begin to operate in this thing, this will change your marriage. This will change your job. This will change your career. This will change your health. This will change your challenges in life. In broad stroke interpretation, let me give you. If you look, Jesus said, what you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. How do you operate that way? Think about this. Are you shooting darts at heaven? You throwing some? The Bible tells us in the Gospels that when we're at a mount, we're supposed to speak to the mountain. Why? Those are good questions. In this series, we're going to break this down, and if you stick this out for the next 4 weeks, I promise you, you will have a grasp on what is being said out of the Word of God about the power of your words, because if you understand it or don't, like it or don't, it's immaterial. It's like gravity. It works for everybody. And some people are drinking poisoned water out of the well, and it's because they have been poisoning their own well. I'm here to tell you today that at the end of the game, you must understand and see this, that nothing, no one can stop you from reaching your potential and destiny but you. Let me say that again. I don't care what God's called you to do. Nothing. Oh, but so-and-so so mean to me. No one. Oh, but things haven't gone my way. Nothing. Oh, but my boss don't like me. No one. Yeah, but it's a bad time in the economy. Nothing. You don't understand. My neighbors are creating me a headache. No one will be able to stop you. They might be able to push you down or push you out temporarily, but you'll keep rising. Oh, but you don't know. Listen, nothing or no one. But my brother sold me into slavery. Nothing or no one. But I got out of there and I had a good job. But my boss's wife made a hit on me and I barely escaped and she lied and I'm back in prison. Nothing or no one will be able to keep you from your potential except for you. Every time they push you down, you're going to come right back up. Or you can sit outside the gate and say, why me? It's so cold. I don't like anybody. No, let's change the thermostat. This is a powerful, death and life are in the power. Let me show you how powerful this works. If there's areas, this is rhetorical, what areas in your life do you have challenges with on a practical side? Maybe you struggle with spelling. Maybe you struggle with math and adding and subtracting our numbers. Maybe you struggle in a certain area of business. Maybe you just struggle with your self-worth. I promise you, I guarantee you, whatever you struggle with, if you back it up in time, when you were growing in this thing and you were vulnerable and open to somebody that you trusted, they spoke something negative into your life. If you grew up in an environment where they kept telling you, and maybe it was your parents, maybe somebody trusted and looked at you and say, I hate you, or you will never amount to anything good, or you're just trouble. You will struggle with those words. See, words are just more than information or noise. They go down deep into who we are if we allow it. Words have power. But in this series, we're not only going to talk about how you can begin to speak life, we're going to talk about how to uproot the death. Because somehow, the devil has tried to make in everybody's lives situations or people that would come into your path to speak death into your life. And we didn't know any better. We allowed it in, and all of a sudden we find ourselves as adults or in the rhythm of life struggling by hitting that same wall. Why do I have such a hard time doing math? I'll tell you why. Probably go back when you first learning math. Someone says you're dumb and you'll never get this math stuff. That's how powerful words are. That's why, parents, you need to be speaking life into your children. You don't tell your kids they're stupid. You don't tell your kids they're trouble. Yeah, but they get in trouble. And guess what? They might be getting in trouble, but if you keep telling them that they're trouble, you're not only their thermometer, you're their thermostat. You not only told them where they've been, you're telling them where they're going. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, if you may be based on the circle you came out of, it might have been misused and abused, and you'll have a tendency of saying, just take notes. You don't have to agree on anything. I'm not here to coerce you to agree. I want you to take notes. Let truth, let God and His Word show you, because your potential is not limited by the economy, by the who's in the White House and who's not in the White House, or who's your boss or who's not your boss, or who encourages you and who doesn't encourage you, or what you've come out of, or what you... It is all based on your ability to understand the power of God and His Word. And when you begin to say what God says, things are about to change. The devil don't want you to know this because he wants to keep you under. But I'm telling you today, I want to speak into your life that when you understand this, you can walk away and say, it might be hard right now, but I'm rising to the top. It might be rough, but I'm rising to the top. I might be struggling, but it's rising, because I don't, even when nobody's around you to be a cheerleader, you have learned the process of the kingdom principle of sowing in your own life. The Word of God. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, keep your heart. Another translation says, guard your heart. Keep your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard what you're allowing inside with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Guard your heart. Say, guard your heart. Guard your heart. For out of it flows the issues, the important things of life are flowing out of your heart. Jesus said in Matthew 12, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the what? Talk to me, church. Out of the abundance of the? Out of the abundance of the? Remember the last verse in Proverbs says to guard that heart. For out of that heart flows issues of the values of the important things of life. Here Jesus says, not only to guard it, but he tells us, out of the abundance of what's in your heart, the what? The mouth speaks. Taking the other Proverbs, death and life are in the power of your words. If you feed your heart death, you will inevitably speak death. And eventually death will begin producing in your life. You look at your spouse and say, I hate you and I wish I never married you. Oh, I was just mad and angry. You're speaking death. You're speaking death. You say it enough, and you will become what you've said. And here all this time, we've been blaming the devil. Devil's not messing with your marriage. You're done messing. He don't need him. The devil don't need to mess with some of the stuff, because we're doing the job ourselves. I'm not denying that there's not a devil trying to mess with you. I'm saying sometimes he tells his demons, just back off, just watch. They're just going to self-destruct. And we're just not part of the family. Are you listening to me? We're part of the army. We don't need soldiers self-destructing when the battle's on. I need you strong. I need you courageous so that God can be and do what he wants to do in and through your life. And we have to learn what Jesus was teaching about the kingdom. This is not mind over matter. This is a process. This is a process. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bring forth good things. The evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the days of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. By your words. By your words. By your words. Say, my words have power. Say, my words have power. What kind of power? Death and life are in the power of your words. It didn't say death and life are in the power of the devil. It didn't say death and life are in the power of your boss. Death and life are in your power by what you say. Now, this is not a genie thing. You rub the lamp and a genie comes out and you get your best three wishes. This is not you go to bed and you look in the mirror and you say, I'm pretty, but you're really ugly. You're pretty ugly. Come on, look to your neighbor and say, he's talking about you now. Because I know he's not talking about me. This is not you say something once and it's going to happen. But there is a kingdom principle. Let me give you an example of that. In the Gospel of Mark, if you have your Bibles. Mark 4. 24. The Gospel of Mark, Jesus has been doing a parable about the sower. Maybe here's a homework assignment. Read Gospel of Mark chapter 4 in your own time. But we talk about the sower sowing the word. The seed is the word. Now, a lot of times you go to church and they talk about seed and sowing and it's about an offering or money. And that's part. That's true. But there's a parable where Jesus is talking about the seed being you that God has sown into this world. In this context, it's about, hey, don't start reading it yet. You guys, come on, work with me. Thank you. In this context, he's been talking about the seed being the word of God. The seed is God's word. And we've did a whole study on this about, you know what I mean, some and where there had thorns and some were good land and producing 30, 60, 100 fold. Have you heard that parable before? You're looking at me like you're frowning at me. So, I mean, I don't know if you're like, yes, Pastor, I just read that. 4 a.m. Bible study this morning, I read that. Yeah, absolutely. Work with me, somebody. Help me. So the context or the conversation is about this teaching of sowing the word into your heart. And he continues in verse 24. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. Sounds like Proverbs, don't it? Guard your heart. Be careful. Give attention to what you listen to. If you listen to hate, you are planting hate in your heart. Take heed to what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath to him shall be given, and he that hath not from him that shall be taken even that which he hath. Verse 26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed or plant seed into the ground. Now he's been talking about seed and sowing the word in your heart. And should sleep and rise night and day. See, it's not overnight. You don't do this one time and wake up the next day and it's all working for you. Did you hear me? Faith cometh not by having heard, but by hearing. Rise up. Notice, should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. So we don't have to understand the ins and outs of God's making this work. But I know something about when I'm planting, when I am saying what God is saying, when I say the word of God into my heart, when I speak the word of God into my situation, when I say what God is saying as an ambassador of God, I am planting seed, truth, in my heart. As I keep doing that night and day, day and night, rise up, go back to sleep, in time, that seed begins to bring a change on the inside of me and begins to change that which is around me. I do not understand how it always works or how he's always going to do it. But I know that there is a process here of his word. Notice again, he knows not how. Verse 28. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after the full corn of the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle because the harvest is come. What is that harvest? The harvest is the result of the seed. What seed are you planting in your heart? It might be for your marriage. It might be for your health and healing. It might be for your finances. It might be for your children. It might be for your home. It might be for your career. It might be for your ministry. Death and life are in the power of your words. Now, this is not a matter if you say, oh, I'm going to die one time, the next day you're going to wake up dead. But I'm going to show you through the word, if you'll stick with us for the 4 weeks, I will show you from the word of God a tool that is in the word of God about the kingdom of God, because we are part of the kingdom of God. We're part of God's family. That will work for you, not to bring death into your life, but to bring life, so that you know that your potential can be reached. If everybody around you is talking against you, you're not dependent on what you're hearing from them, because you are planting the seed in your own life that will produce, that will result in bringing you up to have and be what God's called you to have and be. Amen? Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise.